Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Page 104. Prahlad Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada comments. Prahlad Maharaj has maintained the philosophical point of view that one should give up the dark well of family life and go to the forest to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hitvatma patam griham andakupam. Varam gato yad dharim ashrayeta. Srimad Bhagavatam is 755. In this verse also, he stresses the same point. In the history of human society, no one at any time or any place has been liberated because of too much affection and attachment for his family. Even in those who are apparently very educated, the same family attachment is there. They cannot give up the association of their families, even in old age or invalidity, for they are attached to sense enjoyment. As we have several times discussed, Yan Maitunadi Grihamedi Sukham Hitucham, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.45. So-called householders are simply attached to sexual enjoyment. Thus they keep themselves shackled in family life, and furthermore, they want their children to be shackled in the same way. Playing the parts of playboys in the hands of women, they glide down to the darkest regions of material existence. Adanta gobir vishatam tamisram punah punas charita charvananam. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.30. Because they are unable to control their senses, they continue a life of chewing the chewed and therefore descend to the darkest material regions. One should give up the association of such demons and adhere to the association of devotees. Thus one will be able to be liberated from material bondage. Right? So here again, the discussion is what's the reason for performing the activity? What's the reason for the duties? Right? So for the materialist, the reason for their duties is sense gratification. Right? And they only follow duties in as much as it is useful in their sense gratification. They feel that the duties outweigh the sense gratification, then they give up that situation. But if the sense gratification outweighs the duties, then they don't have a problem. They wonder why do others get upset. You know? So this mentality has to be given up, is that why we're doing things is for sense gratification. It has to be done because we're performing our duties to please the Lord. That has to be the position. If that position is there, then things will work nicely. If it's not there, then it takes on the demoniac mentality because the mode of passion becomes prominent. Right? Because it's about us, yes.
It's very unusual situation.
Yeah, it's
more voice, which is the top of
pronunciation. Yes, yes. You don't hear that anywhere. Yes. No, so that's the thing. We hear from all the different angles. Because we might be under the impression that, oh, well, the younger children, they're innocent, they're this, that. So then if you hear them speak, then one can't get upset. Because he is speaking quite strongly. You know, it's one of the stronger discussions in the whole Bhagavatam. You know, it's just like the strong discussions on women always come from women. You know, so these strong discussions in household life we see is coming from a child. You know, or that point before of...
Of material enjoyment?
Yes. Oh, that was, wasn't that part of, that was part of, was that part of Puranjana?
Yeah.
I think that was part of that whole discussion. So that was Nard Muni to the king, you know, so he knows who he is, right, you know. So, so there, or Yamaraj talking to the queens. Yeah, because, you know, he's a child, so then, so it's just different angles we hear the same thing. And depending. So the whole point is the mentality is given up. It's not the activities are given up. Because the point is when it says here that the, what is it called? So-called household. It says so-called. It doesn't say household. It says so-called. It means the Grihamedis are simply attracted by sexual enjoyment. So one may says, you know, but, you know, I'm not, you know, always in doing these things. But the point is it's not about doing, it's about being attracted or attached. Does that make sense? Being attracted and attached is one thing. Actually being engaged in these activities, that's a whole different thing. Right? But the whole idea is all this endeavor is that there's the possibility of that. Right? So that's attachment. But for the devotee, he's performing his duties. Right, and if these things have their position, then they come up. Because the point is there's not going to be any difference. The amount of sense gratification the Grihastha and the Grihamedi get are exactly the same. The difference is the Grihamedi is always thinking about getting that sense gratification, while the Grihastha is not. He's thinking about serving Krishna. Does that make sense? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on the same verse. Since no one, even knowing scripture, in any place or time, has been able to free himself from family life, one should surrender to Narayana. The human being is the pet animal for pleasure of women, who are chains which produce birth. He cannot free himself, the object of enjoyment for women. The Lord is the cause of freedom from material bondage. So one can't get out of the material attachment without the blessings of the Lord. So only the devotees can actually get out of this cycle. Right? One can say, no, but what about these great sages, these renunciates and all that? It's just the other side of the same coin. Right? They're not trying to enjoy the senses there, but they're trying to get, they're trying to enjoy the senses by engaging it in the sense objects. They're trying to enjoy the senses by not engaging them in the sense objects. So the power that comes from that, that then impresses them. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's the same principle. Yes? No? Okay. Prahlad Maharaj continued, "My dear sons of demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, is the original Supersoul, the father of all living entities. Consequently, there are no impediments to pleasing him or worshipping him under any conditions, whether one be a child or an old man. The relationship between the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always a fact, and therefore there is no difficulty in pleasing the Lord." So he had, mentioned before that the materialist wastes all his time, right? As in the younger age or in the older age, but he's pointing out in devotional service there's no impediment, so this doesn't get in the way. But for the materialist to enjoy his senses and actually get some benefit, these get in the way. So. Footnote 31. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns this verse to Bhagavad Arkamrichi Mala, chapter 15, entitled Analysis of Favorable Conditions for Bhakti, Bhakti Anukulya Vichar, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakur's book. So that surrendering to Krishna, and then one can get out of the entanglement of the material world, that's favorable. By thinking I'll perform the duties, that will get me out. No, it won't. Just like Jnana will not give you understanding of the Lord. Karma also will not give you anything. Right? They will only give within themselves. That is given, of course, by the Lord. You follow the rules you get. But to know the Lord, then you have to connect it to devotional service. Then things will work very smoothly. Srila Prabhupada comments, as there is no difficulty in establishing the intimate relationship between a father and son, there is no difficulty in re-establishing the natural intimate relationship between Narayana and the living entities. One's duty is to revive one's relationship with Narayana. A slight endeavor in this direction will make the attempt successful, whereas one will never be successful in pleasing his so-called family, society, and nation, even if one endeavors to sacrifice his life. Even you do that, it's not enough. You know, it's like that. You know, there's a typical thing. The person's there, you know, the relationship's very good between the boy and the girl. Some accident happens, the boy dies. And now the girl's left alone. She'll actually blame the boy. Why did he die? You know, it's not like he had that much of a choice, but whatever it is, he died. It's his fault. Now she's alone. So you can't satisfy the family, the society, the nation, and all this. You know, it's just like many countries, after some kind of political struggle, there's always war, those who die in the wars, right? And there's generally some place where all of their names are mentioned, you know, whether it's by region or what, you know, whatever is the way that it's done. How many people visit those things? How many even know who they are, right? So even if it's there, then how long it goes on? So no one's actually satisfied. That's the whole point. But you make a little endeavor, right? They're saying you sacrifice your life, you can't make everybody else happy. But you do a little endeavor in connecting yourself with the Lord, with Narayana, then he reciprocates, it'll be fully successful. So that's why then it says one should do this. And then when it uses this example of the father and son, that's meaning everyone, right? Because what's the problem? Right. The problem is the living entities who think they're the controller and enjoyer. So that makes them what gender? Male. So therefore, father and son. So for all living entities within the material world who think they're the controller and enjoyer, they can reestablish their relationship with Narayana very easily because it's a natural relationship. Right. But working your whole life, you'll never actually satisfy so-called family, society, and nation. Okay. These are connected to Krishna, then they'll also be the medium that you're using to satisfy Krishna. But if they're not connected, you'll never be happy, no one else will be happy. But Prahlada Maharaj continued, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, who is infallible and indefatigable, is present in different forms of life, from the inert living beings, sthavara, such as the plants, to Brahma, the foremost created living being. He is also present in the varieties of material creations and in the material elements, the total material energy, and the modes of material nature, sattva-gun, rajagun, and tamagun, as well as the unmanifested material nature and the false ego. So in other words, whatever we see here is a material phenomenon. Everything of it, every aspect of it, is the Lord. So he being everything, he's present in everything. So therefore, what is the impediment to make a connection with the Lord? Since he's everything. In any situation, whatever is the important element, you can connect to the Lord. Right? We're sitting here. Okay, then what are we sitting on? Air? If you are, then, you know, actually if you are, it still applies. But if you are, we'll add a little extra respect here. Okay? Right, so we're sitting on the rug. Why are we sitting on the rug? right? For the principle of cleanliness or, you know, warmth or something like that, some other thing like that. But cleanliness is Krishna. The warmth is Krishna. The element of protection is Krishna. That's on the floor. What's the floor? The floor gives the support to the blanket, right? Because if we just throw them out into space and expect everyone to sit on them, if that works, great. But if it's not, then, you know, like that. So then that means it's the support that we're sitting on is coming from the earth, but her potency is coming from Krishna. So he is the support of the earth. So we can remember Krishna just in the principle of just where we're sitting. So there's nothing that you can't connect to Krishna and worship Krishna. That's the whole point. Because Krishna is the basis of everything. So that's what Prahlad Maharaj is pointing out. He's pointing out everything. Because someone says, okay, he's that, but he's not the modes, or he's not the Pradhan, or he's not... No, he's everything. But potency from it, that's still him. You know what I'm saying? He's not dealing with material nature directly. He's dealing with his internal potency, which is transforming as the external. But the point is the basis of that energy, where it gets its qualities from, that's Krishna. So without him, it doesn't function. Does that make sense? You know what? Cleanliness is the principle that Krishna is. It's manifest, in this case, as the form of a blanket. That's the potency there. See? Okay. Now that you brought it up, we'll go back to the previous verse, which I was skipping, but since you brought it up. The human being is the pet animal for pleasure of women. So who here has the single and who has the double Purusha Bhav? I finessed this one. You caught it. We were smiling.
You didn't even hear the question.
You didn't even hear the question. The question is, you've already gotten the answer, you don't even know. So, the question is that the living entity, they have the male mentality of I'm the controller and enjoyer, but then they're put into the physical forms of male and female. So does that mean that the one in the male form has that double that, but the women only have the single that? And then we pointed out here from Vishwanath like that. He cannot free himself, the object of enjoyment for women. So in other words, it's all about the women. It's known, but it's not discussed prominently because that goes against the nature of women that you make it so prominent because everything's subtle, everything's quiet. So the point is, in household life, the lady of the house is the center of the house. So what does that mean? It's all about the senses, and all about the expression of that based on relationships. So if we're looking at the pious, we look at the relationships and everything like that. But if we drop it down into what they're talking here, the materialist, it's all about she likes it, it goes good. She's in a good mood, she cooks nice. She's not in a good mood, she doesn't, or doesn't cook at all. She's in a good mood, she smiles, she laughs, she talks. She's not, she doesn't. She's in a good mood, everybody can be relaxed and everything. She's not in a good mood, no one can relax. Even you're in a different room, you still don't relax. Because if you do, she'll understand it and come in the room. You understand? All it is that the living entity in the female form in the material world uses the female form for they're controlling and enjoying. That's all. And what do they control and enjoy? The women and the men. But if you make it sound like that, then the men become wimps, and then they're really useless to try. So therefore, the propaganda is there that the men are the ones enjoying and everything like that. So at least there's a little bit more potency there. There's a little bit more fun to play with. You know what I'm saying? It's like the cat and the mouse, right? You got the mouse, and then, you know, total control. Then you let it go, you know, and thinks, oh, I think it's, then catch it again. Yeah. So it's not talked about much because it's embarrassing, but it's the reality. You understand? Like I'm saying this, men are going, what? What are you talking about? Really? Oh. And all the women are going, does he have to say so much? You understand? Whatever you talk about in the nature of women, all women understand what you're talking about, at least those who know they're women. Those who think they're men, then they have a problem, like JoJo, right? Yeah. JoJo was a man who thought he was a woman. Like that, you understand? So women know what they're doing. Just some of them are more aware and can use it to advantage, while others just do it inherently. Yes, sir. But that's the etiquette, because the whole point is since that principle in the spiritual world, everybody is doing everything to serve Krishna. Therefore, it comes out in that cultural way. But there, everybody's men or women to please Krishna. But here, everybody's men or women to please themselves. So the Purusha Bhava is equally there in both. But you'll find the intensity is greater in the women. Right? Let's say you have 20 men in the room. There's 20 men in their own little worlds just doing things. You know, they can't interact or not. But if there's 20 women in one room, then the whole question is, who is the number one woman in the room? Right? You can't just have 20 women in the room. So the men, their ego takes up, you know, a little space around them. The women, it takes up the full room. So 20 egos taking up the full room, therefore the problem. You understand? So it's much more intense, because we're talking here, the material energy is the mood of the living entity, that I'm the controller and enjoyer. So the feminine nature represents that. Therefore, it's actually more materially intense. Yes. But you use it for Krishna, then it's the same advantage in the spiritual world. Right? In Shantaras, when we think of the leading devotees in that rasa, they're men or women? Men. When we think of in Dasi Ras, men. In Saki Ras, men. In Vatsalya, women. In Kanjuga, women. You understand? So it's a great advantage on the spiritual side. But on the material side, whatever's the highest there will be the lowest here. Because if you have the feminine mentality, or the attachment to the feminine mentality, on the material platform, it's going to be the cause of the most bondage. But if you're connected to Krishna, it's so much easier. You just cook for Krishna because you like to. Right? You just want to please Krishna. It's simple. Well, the men, it's like, you know, cooking and the science, and it's all Krishna's the science, so we're doing, you know. Yeah. So they have to go from material to spiritual to transcendental. Women just go from material to transcendental. They leave out that stuff. Yeah, you understand? So it has its advantages and disadvantages. The advantage, then, the men, it's easier to be detached and all that, while the women, it's not. But it's easier for the women to be attached to Krishna than for the men. So each has its advantage and disadvantage. That's why in household life, they're combined together, so that the advantage of each supports the disadvantage of the other. That's why duties are there, to make sure that one doesn't neglect those advantages. But there's that. Okay. Yes?
What's the question?
The question is if the man's fixed in self-realization and the woman, you know, assists in that, then would it be considered the man is more in control? But if the man's more in control, why is he with the woman? He's more in control of the less in control. Does that make sense? Yeah. But it's not that you don't have great personalities who are in that position who don't have a problem, but socially, it still means his interaction with the wife is still going to be about the wife. Right? I mean, if they're doing the puja and all this, it's about the deities, or he's doing some sort of, it's about that, but his dealings with the wife, it has to be on the platform that the wife can relate to it. So that never changes. It never changes. Nanda Baba, you know, he's a transcendentalist. Does that mean he's all rough and ready and, you know, doesn't bother trimming his beard or something with Mother Jashoda, you know? You know, so you think everything's done nicely. The feminine nature has to be dealt with in a certain way. It doesn't matter if it's in the spiritual material world. It's one nature. It's just the spiritual world, they use it to serve Krishna. In the material world, it's used for one's sense gratification. Does that make sense? Okay. Back to where we were. Although he is one, he is present everywhere, and he is also the transcendental supersoul, the cause of all causes, who is present as the observer in the cores of the hearts of all living entities. He is indicated as that which is pervaded, and as the all-pervading supersoul, but actually he cannot be indicated. He is changeless and undivided. Means he is one. Means you can tell all these different aspects of the one, but they're still one, right? You know, your head and your hand, you can tell the difference between them. At least one would hope you can, you know, like that. Does that make sense? You know, trying to stick a glove on your head might not work out so good, right? So you should be, but can you divide the two? No, they're all one thing. So Krishna as that which is pervaded and that who is pervading are two features of one person. You can't divide them. That's what becomes difficult to understand. It's only by His grace. In other words, we're looking at unlimited and inconceivably, you know, all the different aspects that are there, the variety that doesn't match, all matches in Him because it's all the same. You understand? That makes sense? You know, our elbow is hard, but then above that it's soft. Right? So that all matches. That's the point in Krishna. So that's what He reveals, Himself, who He is, that those unlimited aspects and how all that, and then how He is the person who has all that, and how He can relate to us, even though we're part and parcel of Him. You can still, just like you can relate to your hand. Not that you can't, because you're all one, so you can't relate to your hand, you know. Intellectuals get into those, you know, script writers and writers get into the weird sci-fi stuff like that, where then the living entities who have evolved, so all there is a brain, right? And that's it. They've gotten rid of the body and the senses, because with the brain they can just understand everything and they communicate. And they, you know, they don't do anything. They just sit around and emit brain waves. Right? The only problem is they don't say how that brain is nourished, since the brain burns up more calories than the body does. Right? That's a major fault. Huh? Yeah, something weird, yeah. How do you just have the brain?
Just using once accumulated.
But, you know, yeah, I'm just saying, they'll come out with something stupid. Yeah. Okay. So he cannot be indicated. You cannot say, oh, he's this, because no, he's the whole thing. Right? Because just because you say, okay, he is the potency holding up the rug, but that doesn't indicate him as a person. Understand? So the point is, the rug, the earth, boom, all these things are non-different. So, you catch it?
Yes. Maybe caught on the platform of revelation.
Realization. Okay.
Understand the person.
No, but because the acharyas are talking about it, then you have that kind of faith and focus. You hear this, then you can experience what they're talking about. Does that make sense? That's the idea. He is changeless and undivided. He is simply perceived as the supreme Satchitananda, eternity of knowledge and bliss. Being covered by the curtain of the external energy, to the atheist he appears non-existent. 20-23, footnote 32. Srila Sridhar Swami discusses this verse, 23. Someone may ask, if God is all-pervading, then why do we not see the omniscient, all-powerful Godhead everywhere? The answer to that question is given in this verse. The supremely opulent personality of Godhead is covered by the curtain of the external energy, and to the atheist he appears non-existent. This verse explains that the glories and opulence of the Lord are hidden from the view of the conditioned soul by the external material energy. Quoted from Bhagavat Sandarbha, Anucheda. Yeah, Anucheda 25, paragraph 11. So the material energy covers, that's why we can't see the Lord. But if therefore we take shelter of the Lord through devotional service, then we can see the Lord. Interesting that you're discussing the same point. Right? So Bhagavatam is the essence of the Upanishads. Vedanta Sutra is the essence of the Upanishads. They're discussing the same point. This one's just doing in these you know, half-sentence sutras, while the other's giving these very nice stories and everything. Okay. But it's the same point. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, not only is the Lord to be served within the heart, but he is present everywhere and should be satisfied by giving him all respect. To teach this, two verses show how the Lord pervades everything. He is present in all excellent and inferior jivas, from Brahma to the plants. He is present in non-living objects such as pots, in the five gross elements, in Pradhan and its transformations such as Mahatattva. He is different from Prakriti and its transformations. He is the one Lord called Supreme Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So that means one can find and respect the Lord in everything. That's the whole point. Is there's no condition you can't be Krishna conscious. Sometimes people are like, well, we're out in the material world, how do we do this? You know, because they take it as we're in the temple, we're chanting, the deities are there. These are direct activities, so naturally they're the easiest and best, the most recommended. But since Krishna is everything, therefore even if you're out in the material energy, then that's, what is that? Right? You know, you're stuck on the, M25. Okay, but then what's the point? Right? Does that make sense? Right? Krishna, you know, accommodates everything like that. They did not respect enough of Krishna, therefore they don't have enough lanes, therefore there's traffic. Right? You're getting stuck. So what is that? There's impediments. That means everything that you try to do, there's always an impediment. Why would that be? One, we're in the material world, so we get frustrated. But two, is just energy always creates variety. So if one day the road is empty, the next day that means it's got to not be empty. It's just the nature of it. So all this comes from Krishna. So you can be sitting there and you're, you know, sitting on the highway for however long you are and finding Krishna in so many elements. Does that make sense? You just have to know what's the essence of everything you're looking at. You know, or you can just sit there and chant Hare Krishna and listen to a lecture. It's much more direct. But if nothing else, you can always find it in everything. Srila Prabhupada adds, Prahlad Maharaj's class friends, who were born of Daitya families, thought that realizing the absolute was extremely difficult. Indeed, we have experienced that many, many people say this very thing. Actually, however, this is not so. The Absolute, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is most intimately related to all living entities. Therefore, if one understands the Vaishnava philosophy, which explains how he is present everywhere and how he acts everywhere, to worship the Supreme Lord or to realize him is not at all difficult. Realization of the Lord, however, is possible only in the association of devotees. Right? So here we see is that a slight difference means a furtherance of the flavor that's being given in the Bhagavatam, because it's always about the Lord. But we see in the previous cantos, there always tends to have that feeling that there's some difference or some distance. The Lord's always there. He can always be approached through the same process in the association of devotees. But here, Prahlad Maharaj is pointing out how simple it is. He's right there with you all the time as Paramatma, and he's in everything, between everything. There's nothing that's not him. So he's actually pointing out now, if that's the interest to know the Lord, then actually how simple it is. Is that something? So slightly different flavor, he's bringing it closer, right? Because we're getting the 10th canto, which then is the Lord in his pastimes with his devotees. So we're starting off with the creation down in the, you know, second canto, and then we're going to end up with the Lord and his associates performing their pastimes. So we have to be able to appreciate, you know, the importance of the devotional service, how it works, what is the mechanics of it. At the same time, is actually if we're interested, how easy it is, how natural it is. But if you don't follow that, then it's impossible. That's the point. You follow it properly, surrender to devotees and the association of devotees, try to please the Lord. Very, very easy. But if you don't, impossible. Okay. So Prahlad Maharaj is putting us on the side where very, very easy.
Like that. Child. Child.
Yes. Yeah. He's a child. He's explaining it to children, so it's actually very easy. But it's that simple. Adults like things complicated, you know, so it makes them feel important. Prahlad Maharaj continued, therefore, my dear young friends, born of demons, please act in such a way that the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the conception of material knowledge, will be satisfied. Give up your demoniac nature and act without enmity or duality. Show mercy to all living entities by enlightening them in devotional service. So that's mercy. We're taking, I'm being nice and kind and all that. The point is that's equalness to all living entities. But actual mercy is giving them Krishna consciousness. So we don't even know the proper, you know, mercy over being nice to the people. But mercy is giving them Krishna. Being nice, that is being equal to all living entities. Right? So, all right there, we're already saying that this is the standard of Vaishnava etiquette and activities. Right? We're already saying that, but because it uses different terminology and different definitions. Right? In other words, it's using original and pure definitions. We're used to using these impure and imperfect definitions. So we think, oh, it's not the same. So therefore, either I don't have to deal like that, or devotees are not dealing like that. Yes?
Here is mentioned, without enmity and duality. Why twice? Because duality means dividing good and bad. Why twice? Enmity and duality.
Well, here it's that you're talking about duality. How can you be attached unless it's two things?
I didn't think.
Is your nose attached to itself?
No.
No. Because it's one thing. So for attachment, there must be duality, right?
But if I'm attached to something,
yes,
I like it. or I don't like it.
Yes, but that's another thing. You're attached, and then there's this effect.
Mm-hmm.
So it's two different aspects. And if you look at it, there's only one thing. So why break it down into all its little parts? Because as people, that's what we do. We taste all the different variety of all the different things.
This duality emphasizes, yes? Like
no, duality means attachment, and enmity means control. I and mine. So enmity is I, and duality is mine. You understand? They go together. I want to control something so I can enjoy it. I can only enjoy it if I control it. So they both go together, but they're two different flavors in one thing. You know what I'm saying? Because attachment and hatred are one thing. It's just two sides of it. But the flavor of it and how you deal with it is very different. But it's one thing. You understand? So that's the whole point I was pointing out. Krishna is everything. He is one. Non-dual, but at the same time, is there is varieties that you can, within that, within Brahman, that you can appreciate and that. So dead matter doesn't appreciate it, but the living entity does. Because conscious Brahman can appreciate Brahman. Unconscious Brahman's not going to appreciate Brahman. Hmm? So, yeah.
Does that mean that attachment creates duality, or what's that?
Duality. Yes, because there has to be, means if you have attachment, then naturally you like something or don't like something. But if you like or don't like, then there has to be duality. So they nourish each other.
It's both for both in spiritual and material.
It's the same principle. When you apply it in spiritual, it increases your attachment to Krishna. When you apply it in material, it takes you farther away from Krishna. It's just a matter. Everything will do the same thing. It's just which direction it's taking it. Krishna says there's one path. That means that what everybody's doing is the same thing. It's just which direction it's taking it. You have spiritual understanding, it takes you towards Krishna. You have, Brahman understanding, it takes you to Brahman. Right? You have a pious understanding, it takes you to the heavenly planets. You have an asura, it takes you to the lower. Like that. You understand? You don't follow anything, you end up lower than that. Something? Yeah. Show mercy to all living entities by enlightening them in devotional service, thus becoming their well-wishers. Srila Prabhupada comments. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhakti-yamam abhijanati yavan yas chasmi tatvataha. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as He is only by devotional service. Kuladmaras ultimately instructed his class friends, the sons of the demons, to accept the process of devotional service by preaching the science of Krishna consciousness to everyone. Preaching is the best service to the Lord. The Lord will immediately be extremely satisfied with one who engages in his service of preaching Krishna consciousness. And so that goes back to the thing this morning. So you may be out directly preaching, or you're supporting the preaching. So it's all a complete package. But whenever you have the opportunity to directly preach, then one does. And if one doesn't, one supports. This is confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 18:69. Nacha tasman manusheshu kashchin me priya kritama. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. One sincerely tries his best to spread Krishna consciousness by preaching the glories of the Lord and His supremacy. Even if he is imperfectly educated, he becomes the dearmost servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is bhakti. As one performs this service for humanity without discrimination between friends and enemies, the Lord becomes satisfied and the mission of one's life is fulfilled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised everyone to become a guru devotee and preach Krishna consciousness. Jare Deka Tare Koha Krishna Upadesh, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 7128. This is the easiest way to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By such preaching, the preacher becomes satisfied, and those to whom he preaches are also satisfied. This is the process of bringing peace and tranquility to the entire world. You're giving that. So you have the levels of, therefore, preaching is the most important. But the point is that someone is preaching. Now, the more they understand and realize about Krishna consciousness, does that improve their preaching? Yes. So therefore, preaching to the devotees is also in pursuance of this same thing. Because you preach to the devotees, they realize more. They're able to, therefore, preach more. Right? So that's the whole point, is that it's all one thing. Whether you're preaching to the devotees or preaching out, you know, to those who are not devotees, the principle is that you're preaching. It's just that the most effective is preaching to the devotees, because when they get inspired, then they go out and preach to everybody else. So whenever you have the opportunity to preach to devotees, you do that. When you have the opportunity to preach to everybody, you do that. That's the point of friends and those who are friendly and those who are not. So the devotees are friendly and the non-devotees are not. So you equally preach to all of them. The opportunity is there, you preach to whoever happens to be there. Right? Does that make sense? Bhakta ramya gitapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suridam sarva bhutanam yatva mam shantim richati. Bhagavad Gita 5:29. One is expected to understand these three formulas of knowledge concerning the Supreme Lord: that He is the Supreme Enjoyer, that He is the proprietor of everything, and that He is the best well-wisher and friend of everyone. A preacher should personally understand these truths and preach them to everyone. Then there will be peace and tranquility all over the world. Because we're trying to enjoy, so if we connect everything to Him as the Supreme Enjoyer, that's how then we'll be satisfied in the area of enjoyment. Right? He's the proprietor of everything, so if we see everything connected to Krishna, then having anything or working with anything, then we'll have satisfaction there. Right? We see Krishna as the supreme friend. Everything is connected to Krishna. He's the one that's trying to benefit everybody. Then our serving the Lord in that capacity, then we will have proper friendships. Right? Does that make sense? Right? You cook food, you offer it to Krishna, then you have prasad. So this is where everything comes. The modern thing is to focus on Suridam Sarva Bhutanam. Oh, be friendly to everybody, nice to everybody, but it's not being equal to everybody. That's the fun part. Here is the Vedic, you're equal to everybody, so how they deal with you is how you reciprocate. But in the modern is that you're very nicely with certain groups of people, and other groups of people you're not nice at all. So it's not a matter of reciprocation. Because even if they deal with you nicely, you may not deal back nicely. Or you may be surprised. So it's different. But its whole point is, no, I'm the friend of everybody. Oh, I can go and be nice to everybody. Oh, I can work it out. You know? What's the ombudsman, right? The friend of everybody. You know, the facilitator, the friend of everybody. But if you watch closely, the facilitator is simply trying to get his own work done. But he just speaks nicely, so he sounds like he's everybody's friend. Understand? So only on the devotional platform, then you can see is that, what are you facilitating? Krishna's service. So how to get everybody together, inspired, working in Krishna's service, that's a whole different thing. Does that make sense? Yeah? No?
That reminds me of neuro-linguistic programming.
Neuro-linguistic program.
That would be the facilitator that would try to persuade you in his own ideas, while the group of people, while the devotees would be reaching Krishna consciousness, and in that way, like, Krishna would act in a way that are beyond the regular modern ways of influencing.
Yes, I mean, you can do it through just the sincerity of Krishna consciousness, but at the same time, you have, by using particular words, if that will inspire people, but the point is why are you inspiring them? Yeah, so they become more Krishna conscious. So then it comes down to it's the Krishna consciousness that's doing. You use particular words, it's a medium. But you can even use those words and it's not. It means, politicians use nice words, give nice logics and all that, but do necessarily people trust them? No, because the intent is different. Though they've used the nice words and all the different things. So that's the point is, what's the intent of it? Right? Is the intent that you want to actually do something, you know, in the country to benefit the people, and that you're protecting the people, and that will show? Or is it just you want the position so that you have that authority? You know, and since you're there, you have to do something that looks like you're doing something for others' benefit. Yeah. So when you have that, then there'll be peace. Why are people fighting? Because they think, I'm the proprietor, you're not, or I'm the well-wisher, you're not, or I'm the enjoyer and you're not. Right? Or at least if you're an enjoyer, you're less standard of enjoyment than I am. You know? Does that make sense? So all fighting is over these three. So people understand these three, there is no war. Right? So the concept of creating peace in the world is to discuss and understand this and distribute this, preach this. That's what will get rid of all the problems. And seeing that it's all connected to Krishna, then we don't make all the differences in the identification. You deal with everybody properly. You deal with everyone in connection to the Lord. So everything becomes peaceful. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That is the best education, yes?
That's the best education.
Because before it is mentioned that even if a person is not imperfectly educated,
yes,
it doesn't mean that he doesn't understand
it. No, that's the whole point, is when he understands Krishna consciousness, you're perfectly educated. Then, according to your material ability, what you know and that, then you'll get by. I've seen kids in the class be not very intelligent, but they use 100% of their ability, and they get, you know, they do okay. You know, they do average, nothing special. But then I've seen kids that are really, really intelligent, but they don't use it because they think they're so smart, this is no big deal, and get very bad grades. So it's not what you have, it's how you use it. So if you're Krishna conscious, and you understand these principles, and that's what you're giving, even if your skills aren't so great, it'll still work. Because those who are honest will take it. Those who say, oh no, but that was that, there was this imperfection, that imperfection, it wasn't this and that, those people are cheaters. They're under the control of the modes of nature. That's not real. You know, they're able to find faults because they have faults. There's a difference in finding a fault because it's not ideal, it's not going to benefit them in Krishna consciousness. Or it's that I found a fault, therefore if I found a fault, that puts me in a superior position. So, that's why a fault finder always has that attitude of superiority. Okay. Well, let's say like a child, he sees a fault, it's not right. And you can't feel bad because there's no ego. That's the difference. So, Pradmars continued, nothing is unobtainable for devotees who have satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes, the original source of everything. The Lord is that, because anything you do, there's a goal, there's a result. That result comes from an endeavor. Why is the endeavor? Because there's some reason, there's some cause. So he's the cause of all causes, so everything's done for him. Then all other causes are automatically taken care of. Right? The Lord is a reservoir of unlimited spiritual qualities. For devotees, therefore, who are transcendental to the modes of material nature, what is the use of following the principles of religion, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, which are all automatically obtainable under the influence of the modes of nature? We devotees always glorify the lotus feet of the Lord, and therefore we need not ask for anything in terms of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha. Right? So when they're talking here, it doesn't mean you're not performing the duties of dharma. but you're not performing them to gain from it. Right? Because performing dharma, you got artha, kama, and then moksha. You're not doing it for those. You're simply doing it because you need some position to render service from. Right? To do an activity, then there must be an identity and seeing oneself in relationship to the field you're working in. Right? Because if there's nothing, how do you do service? Right? We don't. When Gopakumar visits Mahakalapura, do we see anybody in the Brahman there is performing service? No, they're just all sitting there thinking, I am Brahman. How is that service? Okay, it may be a fact, yes, you are Brahman, but what service is it rendering? Right? Nothing. So therefore you see that there, in personal form, where they're identifying and doing that, then Shiva and his associates, then they're going around and worshipping, Sankarshan and doing Harinam Sankirtan. Right? So, that's there.
So they were kind of like,
no, but what's the point?
Like the influence was so much that she was scared about life. We were going through the things that.
No, but I'm saying, what is that? In other words, what's the connection here? It's not that they're sitting there trying to be scary. Right? This, scary Brahmavadi. You have the regular Brahmavadi, and then it goes into scary Brahmavadi. Regular Brahmavadi. No. It's scary because where's the personal? That's the scariness. So it's still about devotional service, relationship with the Lord. It's not that they're hiding behind the door there, because there is no door in Mahakalapura, so they can't hide behind it to scare you. He's scared of there being no personal relationship. Is that okay? Okay, yeah. Religion, economic development, sense gratification, these are described in the Vedas as Trivarga, or three ways to salvation. Within these three categories are education and self-realization. Ritualistic ceremonies performed according to Vedic injunction. Logic, the science of law and order, the various means of earning one's livelihood. These are the external subject matters of studying the Vedas, and therefore I consider them material. However, I consider surrender the lotus feet of Vishnu to be transcendental. Because you study those, they themselves, knowing the skill, the application, that's still functioning within the material platform. It's only when you see that in connection to the Lord. In other words, if I'm saying these things, is that, okay, you have the effect of the planet, but the point is where does the potency of that planet come from? It comes from Krishna. And that planet is giving this effect. How are you going to use that for Krishna? So if that's discussed, that's devotional service. You may be using the medium of the astronomy there, but the point is that it's about Krishna. That's what makes it devotional service. Therefore, aparavidya. Means you can take aparavidya and connect it to Krishna very nicely if you follow the sampradaya. But if you don't, you're just discussing the astronomy on its own, it's material knowledge. So, what was Chandanamarka teaching? Material knowledge. But does that mean that Yudhishthira Maharaj or Arjuna, Bhima, Krishna didn't know Niti Shastra? They knew. But they knew it in connection to Krishna and the potencies, how it's working there.
Even Prahlad Maharaj knew them.
Yes. But the point is that if they're on their own, it's material. If it's connected to Krishna, it's spiritual. So it's not that, yes, it's connected to Krishna and then I just focus on it. No, then it's material. It only becomes spiritual while it's connected. Right? It means if you have a generator, whether it's running or not, is it a generator? Its existence doesn't change. Right? Now, let's say it's running, and there is a wire coming from it. That wire is electricity. But if it's not connected to the generator, it's a piece of copper. We can say it's an electric wire, but it's only electric wire when electricity is going through it. Otherwise, it's just copper in the form of a wire. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that just because its aparabhidhi can be connected, that doesn't mean if we're not connecting it, it's transcendental. This is a mistake we make. Oh, you know, you can explain how it is, but if we're not using it that way, it gives the material flavor and results. Yes, but also understanding. You have to sambandha understand how it connects to Krishna. Right? Because then you can use it in Abhideya for Krishna and get a result for Krishna. But if you don't understand how it's for Krishna, you know what I'm saying, then what's the benefit? Then you're getting a jnata sukriti. Right? You know. It becomes bhakti when you understand the whole thing. Is that what I'm saying? Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema ki.